You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Okay, we are live back here on the Cooligans podcast. Did that work?
Yeah, no, that worked.
I didn't turn on the speaker. There you go. Look, I forgot to set everything up before we got started, but welcome back. Like I mentioned yesterday, Alexis is currently doing some rehearsals with CBS, so he will be back next week. But today, just like in the last 2 weeks, we've had incredible guest co-hosts join me on the show. And today's obviously we're talking about American soccer, and there is a big American soccer story that we have to make sure that we cover.
Uniquely American, I would argue.
It's one of those stories that only an American could write. Okay,
exactly.
This is the definition of American exceptionalism. Okay, because the drama. This might as well be a Shonda Rhimes script, dog. We're having it's incredibly dramatic and exciting. So we have we focus a lot on American soccer and MLS on our Tuesday shows. And I'm so glad we have this guest in, because he happens to be in New York. And when you think of Major League Soccer, especially if you are somebody who has ever been on Instagram, Mike, you ever been on Instagram?
It's a few times.
Wonderful website.
I've heard of it.
Okay. But you may know him as This Week in MLS. But everybody, big round of applause for Eli Lesser, everybody. Boom. What a goal celebration. Eli, what's up, man?
Not much, man. It feels good to be in New York City for my last spring break. You know, a lot of people are in Puerto Vallarta and all those places. Nah, I'm in New York City.
That's right. Some people are in Dominican Republic playing in CONCACAF Champions League matches for spring break. You know, it's a little bit different. Everybody does it their own way. Eli Lesser, thank you so much for joining me, man. It's an absolute honor. Long overdue. I mean, we've known you for years. I'm bumped into each other in different events, mm-hmm. All-Star, MLS All-Star, and stuff like that. And This Week in MLS, if people are not aware, go follow Eli at This Week in MLS. If you are a fan of MLS in any way at all, there's probably very few people on the planet that know as much about Major League Soccer than you do.
I mean, I live and breathe this league. During high school, you know, I was that kid during my lunch breaks, just like watching MLS stuff, posting about MLS. I didn't have a social life, and I feel like that fits in with a lot of MLS fans. So.
I didn't have a social. Yeah, there's no way you can have a social life now. I barely do. I mean, MLS fans, that's not a thing. That the Venn diagram of MLS fan and social life do not really.
Yeah, you know, they say Saturdays are for the boys. Actually, Saturdays are for MLS season pass on Apple TV.
Let's go. Okay, this is gonna be a commercial for a Major League Soccer, bro. I'm happy to have you here. Obviously, everybody, welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco. That's the homie Eli Lesser coming in. You are from Los Angeles,
yes.
But you are going to school Syracuse
University. That's I'm right. A senior, very last spring break, and
congratulations.
Yeah, who knows where life's going to take me after this. But.
Okay, yeah, look, you are someone I always very publicly root for. I'm just, I think even, when did you start This Week in MLS?
I started it in 2015. It was my summer heading into high school.
Look at this, because the Cooligans also started in 2015. That summer, a little bit after this, after the summer. And we were in high school too. So we were pretty cool. We were doing the Dougie. I don't know if you remember that one. So everybody knows that we were very hip. But it's one of those things where we've come up together.
Yeah.
I guess the main question is, why did you start This Week in MLS?
Yeah, it's so funny why I started it, because it started as a niche from a sports broadcasting camp I was attending mm-hmm. at the time. But then it just became this whole life for me, which has been amazing, and I wouldn't change that for anything. But, you know, I started watching soccer because of the LA Galaxy. I know that's different than a lot of American soccer fans, but uh-huh. MLS was my first exposure to the sport. So it made it easier for me to fall in love with, like, the weirdness of the league, because I didn't know it was weird. That's just what I thought soccer was.
Interesting, yeah, because I say this all the time. When, like, Ricky Puig he announced that when we found out he was coming to LA Galaxy, and he said, like, wow, I can't believe the LA Galaxy are, like, interested in me. I'm like, Ricky, do you know it's not that big a deal? But to younger people who grew up with the league, it's just another soccer football league, and mm-hmm. there's nothing weird about it.
No, I mean, I didn't know what soccer was as a sport until David Beckham came to the Galaxy. That was my first exposure.
I didn't know what, you know, falling in love with a man was like until David Beckham got to.
Hey, fair enough.
All good, bro. That is exciting because you are someone, look, especially by 2015 to now, the league has changed quite a bit. And you sort of been a part of that that growth and kind of highlighting that. How has we've seen you at like a lot of different events. What's the welcome been like? Do people treat you like, bro, why do you know so much about this damn league? What are you doing? You don't work for the league. Why are you doing this to yourself? Or is it the opposite, where they're like embracing of the fact that you are that connected to it?
Yeah, I mean, from outsiders, people who don't really know much about MLS, or they're, you know, Euro snobs, which we could get into a whole argument
oh,
about.
Oh, sure. Yeah, let's do it.
But, you know, those people are like, why MLS? Why are you doing this? But the people who've known me my whole life know I love liking things other people don't. That's just how I was, you know, in high school. I was very much in like the punk rock LA scene.
Let's go.
And people don't really expect that from me now, because I seem like such like a nice bubbly guy. But I've always strayed against the norm. I'm a Clipper fan, for Christ's sake.
Wow.
Like, I'm a Clippers fan in Los Angeles.
I'm sorry,
guys.
About that. I'm sorry.
And I always have been. It wasn't like Blake Griffin's here, by the way. This was, I was there for, you know, the dog days. But so those people aren't surprised, but getting into like the big spaces like MLS All-Star, I had imposter syndrome at first, just because I saw all these people I idolized for such a long time. I think seeing like Andrew Wiebe in person for the first time, something that wouldn't geek out the normal person,
bro,
but for
said,
me.
Said no one ever,
but,
right?
But for me, seeing Andrew Wiebe in person for the first time was like, whoa. And, you know, a couple drinks into my first All-Star event, and I felt like I belonged, and it was great.
Amazing. And, you know, look, you do belong. Okay, if Weeby belongs, you belong. All right. No, I love. Look, we have extra time on in the back right there, just to show some love. Okay. So now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about the main story.
And
this is definitely a, you know, Alexis needs to be here kind of, because he would lose his mind. He loves. He loves U.S. soccer drama, so I know a lot of people will maybe next week we'll get, you know, Alexis's deranged take on on this problematic family. But for now, let's just get it out of the way. So I just want to address some of the – we have some super chats in the chat. Robert from L.A., coincidentally, said, in honor of Pi Day, the Cooligans humor is just like pie, infinite. Wow.
There we go. National Pie Day reference.
Happy Pie Day. I got to get a slice of pie later. Damn.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you, Robert. Okay. So if anyone is not aware of what's going on, so during the World Cup and after the World Cup, we all knew that we talked about this a whole ton about the Berhalter family and the Reyna family, and how there was a back and forth. Greg Berhalter said, you know, there was a player that who was being difficult at a World Cup. He said this at a conference. Everybody essentially knew who he was talking about, even though he did not say his name. It led to the Reyna family calling Ernie Stewart, the former sporting director at U.S. Soccer, and was like, yo, I'm paraphrasing, but, or not really, but paraphrasing and basically like, yo, I got some dirt on Greg. You should not let him talk about my son like that, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out to be a story about domestic abuse, and it was clarified, and the Berhalters were fighting with each other, and it was an awful story, but that was the reality of it. Greg Berhalter came out with a statement, and so basically that's the story that happened. But then there was an investigation, mm-hmm, after that, and the results of that independent investigation just came out, and they are bad. Very bad.
Very bad.
It's worse than what we thought. Let's go real quick into what exactly happened. So there is a tweet thread from Kyle Bonagura, I don't know how to pronounce the name, of ESPN, and we'll just go through it line by line and just to try to make sense of everything that was said. So the first tweet says, the independent investigation into the Berhalter reign of feud and the 1992 domestic violence incident has been released. It mostly corroborates everything that has been reported while providing several specific examples of what was going on behind the scenes. And it continues, Claudio Reyna was unwilling to participate in the investigation. Danielle Reyna had two brief phone calls. They both made threats to U.S. soccer employees about releasing damaging information about Greg Berhalter's past during the World Cup. And continues, and it's a Claudio to the USMNT GM, Brian McBride, obviously USMNT legend. He says, you guys don't even know what we know about Greg. And then Danielle to an unnamed U.S. soccer employee says, once this tournament is over, I can make one phone call and give one interview and his cool sneakers and bounce passes will be gone. And look, last time when we were reading some of these quotes during the World Cup, we did it in a Jersey Mafia accent. So I'm going to just do the same thing because Danielle Reyna seems to be more connected than I assumed. But it went like this. It goes, once this tournament is over, I can make one phone call and give one interview and his cool sneakers and bounce passes will be gone. Okay. So let's just pause there so far. This is insane. Right. It gets to a point where we all know what the reason this all happened was because Gio Reyna did not play enough at the World Cup. And this is what it triggered. This is the series of events that happened simply because Greg Berhalter didn't say, all right, go mark Gareth Bale. Right. You know what I mean? He didn't bring him into the game. So when you were reading this and you read this, these tweets and from this report, what did you think, Eli, when you saw this?
You know, it was just some basic Sunday AYSO family drama. No, I mean, what the heck? I mean, we saw the Oscars, you know, on Sunday, and the whale won. Well, we should have The Soccer Dad as, like, the next grossing film. It would win everything.
I think we need Will Smith to slap Claudio Reyna.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the
okay, Will Smith as Greg Berhalter would hit though. Like, need to be like, you know, it doesn't need to typecast.
Okay.
Just have Will Smith do it. Have Chris Rock be Claudio Reyna and you've got yourself a motion picture.
This is just something that there's no way that the Reynas thought, maybe they did, but there's no way that they believed that this, I don't know if it seems like this is how things are done. We have to, for our son to be successful in U.S. soccer or for my son to be as successful as I was in the U.S. men's national team, I need to give him that extra push. I need to make sure I talk to everyone that could possibly stand in his way. Look, it's not how things are done, right? But it also feels like extremely nepo baby, just
yeah,
fiercely like, I'm going to hurt somebody if you don't take care of my kid and give him some minutes.
It just sucks because he's good enough to where he doesn't need any of that nepotism to like go in his favor. And if anything, this is going to hurt his chances with the national team. I mean, who knows if Berhalter will be back? Most likely not. I think everyone kind of hopes not. But, you know, I like his sneakers and bounce passes. That doesn't mean I'm a Berhalter in guy. However, yeah, it just sucks because Reyna is too good for this type of drama. And I think U.S. soccer is moving past this type of thing, you know, where we're more legit than we ever have been, and just frustrating to see this type of thing. And I said this immediately when Claudio Reyna first, when this drama first came out, Claudio Reyna should be banned from U.S. soccer. I don't care if he's a U.S. soccer legend, but for this, I mean, it's inexcusable, and it's not something you could just come back from, unlike maybe what happened with Berhalter in 92, where he was able to become a better person, work things out. He was very young, and obviously his wife and him are still great today if they were able to to last this long and have so many kids, and they have their own Nepo babies. But hey, Sebastian Berhalter, he's underrated, but...
We'll get to that in a little bit. Some underrated players in MLS. But okay, so this is it's a good point, and a lot of people have said this. I saw a tweet from Jimmy Conrad also mentioning he essentially said, like, look, this is what Claudio wanted. He wanted Greg Berhalter to not be rehired by U.S. Soccer, and said, I hope you're happy with what you got, because this was a retaliatory just attack on him for simply not playing his son at the World Cup. It's just, I mean, we know why, like the motive for why he did this. The more you say it out loud, just the more ridiculous it sounds, because you've brought just a level of embarrassment to your family. It sounds like, you know, brought the embarrassment to House Reyna or whatever, but it's that, like, absurd. And maybe this is just something to keep in mind, that you are kind of, you're representing, like, Gio Reyna is representing himself, but he's also representing his family with how he carries himself, and his parents should be mindful of that. That's all. So there was more that came out of it. And we'll go through some other tweets. And the next one says, Claudio Reyna interviewed for the USMNT GM job in 2019 and has a long history of trying to influence different aspects of the U.S. Soccer Federation as it has related to Gio. An unnamed U.S. soccer employee said, quote, characterized Mr. Reyna's historical outreach as, quote, inappropriate, bullying, and mean-spirited. And then it continues, in an email in 2018, Claudio complained about a female referee in a match Gio played in. And he goes, and in all honesty, can we get real and have male refs for a game like this? It's embarrassing, guys. What are you trying to prove? A game like this deserves better attention, end quote. This is the one. You're not coming back from this, dog.
No, that's just not acceptable at any level. I mean, come on. We don't need misogyny in the game right now.
You're already a pretty bad dude. Yeah. And to now just straight up come through with the misogynist takes, it's really, really bad. I mean, the behavior in regards to his son and even being mad at Berhalter, I think some people can kind of like, oh, I understand why he did it. Like, he's mad his son didn't get playing time. Maybe he has a bit of a temper. But this, to quote-unquote protect your son to the degree that you're going to just straight up be misogynist and you don't want a female referee because you think that she's incapable of doing the job as well as a man, is disgusting. And then this is what truly, at least for me, takes it to the degree of, like, you're not working. How are you going to work in this space again? And then it's like, who do you send this email to? Why are we hearing about this now? Like, it's just another feeling of, like, if this is, you know, there's the constant, you know, the ad campaigns of, you know, say no to racism. It's Women's History Month at the moment. Not good timing for this. No. But if people are thinking like this in U.S. soccer right now, then it's just like, yo, we need to get them out of there.
Yeah, like I said, I don't care how big of a legend you were. I don't care what your influence is in U.S. soccer, because, you know, at the time of that interview or that email, and now he's still a big, like, figurehead in MLS with Austin FC. He was with NYC. I mean, This is just absolute ridiculous. And I also went as far as saying he should be kicked out of the National Soccer Hall of Fame for something
wow,
like this.
Okay.
That's my hot take. If you guys want my Alexis level take, you know, I can't do the North Jersey accent, but I need a cutscene now of Berhalter to Reyna in an alleyway being like, I thought we were friends. I thought we were friends, Claudio.
Yeah, Michael Raymond in the chat just said, I expect Austin FC to cut all ties because Claudio was obviously the sporting director for Austin FC and then now is like a consultant
yes.
after the whole World Cup debacle. And after this, I mean, it's just, it's truly disappointing, right? I mean, you know, we interviewed Gio Reyna a bit before the World Cup in Germany, and it's just like a nice kid, man. I mean, it's like it's not to say that you know he's never done anything wrong or like you know what he did during the World Cup was like justified, but you understand it because he's a kid and he's upset and he wants to play and maybe didn't handle it well. But it's one of those things where like because he's a kid, you understand that behavior, and you would think that he has a legendary dad that has been through all of this that he can go to. And then he goes to his dad and instead of his dad saying like, hey, I understand, son, keep working your hardest, you know, keep trying out there. His dad is just like, yeah, coach sucks. We got to destroy him. It's just like, bro, this is not, it's the way the family was, I guess, somewhat portrayed seems a little bit of a facade. It seemed a little phony because they were just looking out for themselves and looking out for their son. So it's just it makes me kind of sad.
It sounds entitlement was the word that came to mind more than anything.
1,000%.
For Gio and the father. Oh, you don't play, like you don't do what I want you to do, then you're gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't even matter if he has reasons for it. If he doesn't have reasons for it, you're not doing what I want, so you're out of here.
Right, right. I love Justin Friedberg in the chat just said, Eli just needs to spouse facts that can't be verified and he'll become full Alexis. so that's it. You know the move. What were you gonna say, Eli?
Oh no, just looking at this, the whole fact that like the friends and family that were there, they all had a good time except for the Reynas who were just like acting terribly. That alone just tells you everything you need to know about this family. And it sucks because it's a very stereotypical thing. I went to a high school with a lot of kids like this with parents that are like very much, you know, yeah. helicopters and also, you know, very I know that feeling of entitlement, and it just sucks because usually the nicest kids are the ones from like the family or with the parents that like have that sort of attitude,
overbearing and stuff like that. Yeah. Look, and that specifically there's another quote. Greg Berhalter talking about the behavior of the Reyna family in Qatar, and it says, quote, there were 150 people in the friends and family program at this year's World Cup. All were having a great time, except for five people who were absolutely miserable. Those five were cursing, acting horribly. It was the Reynas. It sounds like if you told me it was five teens being, you know, who were bringing, smuggling alcohol and vitamin water bottles, you know, acting erratic at the stadium, you would understand that. But this is just surreal. And it's overall so, so bad. I mean, we spoke about this so much during the World Cup, and there isn't that much more to add other than it's just worse. Mm. It's just simply worse than it even was before. I think if none of this stuff comes out, you know, everybody just shuts up and just goes on with their life and maybe things are all right. But it's just, the main person I feel bad for Gio. I feel bad for the Berhalter family to have this come out so publicly and have to like kind of experience it again and
such sort of private information.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like everybody is kind of like re-traumatized by it. At the very least, I hope that this helps change U.S. soccer to some degree, because I think we're seeing now about how there's people interested in the sporting director job, or I would say a lot of people not interested in.
There's a lot of people not interested. Well,
people are not. They're getting phone calls from like Cindy Parlow-Cohn for like an interview, and they're like, "Nah, we don't. We're not even gonna go." And it apparently pays like $800,000 a year. I'm like,
I'll be the sporting director.
Bro, hey, we can make a duo. Can we
US
be
soccer
co-sporting directors? I mean, I'll.
Hey, I'll take $400K. You take $400K. That's still great. Yeah,
pretty good deal. You know, obviously, we'll run US soccer to the ground, but we'll do our best. You know, mm-hmm. But the fact that no one wants this job. Is a bit concerning, and it seems like there's a more of a systemic issue.
I mean, it has been, and I hate to admit it, but there's a lot of problems with, you know, a lot of front offices in U.S. soccer with, you know, rehiring people from the organization that might not be the most qualified, which might be a good segue into our next topic.
Right, right.
But that's just been an issue, and we want to get some fresh voices into the game. I think that's like a huge thing that I really want to see moving forward. And it just sucks that all this is happening right before the U.S. is about to enter arguably their most important World Cup cycle ever. Right, you know, right. They're hosting it. They're expected to be good. And, you know, the on-field product is very important, but it's about how it's from top to bottom, how the organization is run, that's going to bring success. It can't just be the players.
And they're talking about Oguchi Onyewu, I heard is interested in the job. Mm-hmm. But then the USMNT Twitter is like, why should he get the job? He doesn't have any experience. I'm like, bro, no one wants the job. Gooch is way more than qualified.
Yeah, no one wants the job, and no one has the experience you want them to have. I actually like Gooch a lot. I think he is very positive. He has a great outlook on the game. And I think out of the guys, if we're going to bring back former USMNT players to put in to this type of role, I think Gooch is arguably the best option we have.
I mean, Gooch, DeMarcus Beasley. I like people who feel who really wore the badge with a lot of pride and who also earned a lot of respect from other players. Even a player like Steve Cherundolo.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe in the future, obviously, he's just in L.A.
He's in a great situation.
Crushing your team. With
he's in. I'm going to say he's in a great situation with his current club.
Right. But, so he's doing all right. I think the way we talk about it has to be with a little less arrogance. It's you know, of like. You know, Gucci's not good enough. It's like, relax, relax. This isn't like the French national team where we're really parsing out and trying to be very, very careful with who we select. There's a lot of people very much capable. And, you know, running U.S. soccer is different than running some of the other like federations. So mm-hmm. let's all chill. I saw DraftKings is in the chat. Shout out to DraftKings saying gotta get Mero on to discuss this. Mero like Diaz and Mero. Yeah,
he can fill in for Alexis.
Okay, that might work too. I know Mero did Levitard show a couple months
ago.
Diaz and Mero when we were. For years, we've actually been trying to get them on the show, and now very unlikely we're gonna get them both together. Okay, so let's move on to a little bit more drama. And given that you are a Los Angelian,
An Angelino.
Angelino,
third
that's
generation,
right.
By the way, which most people cannot say. I'm third generation LA, same neighborhood too.
Okay,
so.
Well, damn, y'all were panning for gold, I think. West Coast. But I want to, because we haven't really had anyone to talk about this story, and we did mention it when it first came out. So the Angel City Brigade, Riot Squad,
all of the above, just every supporter group.
The supporters groups of LA Galaxy. There's one more. I forgot the other name of the other one, but they all generally, from my understanding, can never agree on anything. Like there's a lot of just sort of infighting and just disagreements with how to support the club, which just happens at every club. Definitely. All the supporters. It's difficult to get thousands of people to agree on anything, right? But this is the one thing that they all seem to be on board with, and it's
as they should.
GM or sporting director? What's his? I forgot his role. Chris Klein.
I believe he is the sporting director or the president. He's the club president. GM is actually our head coach's job.
Okay,
and it always seems to be our head coach's job, tells you about our front office. But
it's very like MLS 1.0 ish. A lot of people say so, and so. LA Galaxy fans, supporters, you know, they were going to essentially boycott the first game, El Tráfico. That game did not end up happening.
Klein got lucky that the Rose Bowl match was canceled. That's all I'll say.
So LA Galaxy fans are generally pretty upset with what's going on. And given that you are the, you know, one of the LA Galaxy fans, at least one of the loudest on the internet, very, very proud LA Galaxy supporter, how are you feeling about this whole ordeal right now?
It sucks.
Okay.
I mean, it sucks that it has come to this with the team. I fully support what the supporters are doing. I totally understand it. And, you know, it's not at any of the players. It's definitely not against Ricky Pooch because we love that man. We're not protesting Ricky Pooch, by the way, Ricky. We ain't protesting you. We love you. But, you know, it's tough when you're supposed to be the standard of MLS. You guys were, or we were, for, you know, the first 20 years of the league. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, the shiny new gem comes up across the street, and they're doing everything that we should be doing for themselves. And they're doing it better than we ever were able to just because of the current state of MLS and the way the league really helps expansion teams succeed. But they're doing everything right. And we're at the point in LA where the only thing the Galaxy have over LAFC is the history. And I will always say the Galaxy, you know, with their social media numbers, they have the best social media numbers.
Wow. And okay, everybody, let them know.
I mean, no, I'm just stating facts. You look at that 1.4 million on Instagram and TikTok. That's what it is.
It
and
means they have something. Yeah.
They have the global recognition, which they're losing now, especially with the announcement of LAFC and Bayern's new partnership. That's something that the Galaxy, that should have been a Galaxy partnership. Who has LAFC produced from their academy for Bayern to want? Bayern sees what LAFC is doing on the field, and they want to invest in their future, which is something that absolutely should have been the Galaxy.
Right, and I'll talk about that point because obviously FC Dallas had the relationship with Bayern, and they there were several players that either went to train at Bayern. Obviously Chris Richards went from FC Dallas, went to Bayern, and then is now at Crystal Palace. When I first saw the news, I was like, oh damn, that's like what's up with FC Dallas, and they. I mean, credit to Bayern. I mean, they see what LAFC is doing. It seems like a good move. You know, maybe a very helpful to LAFC to as far as development. Mm-hmm. But then, from a you know commercial perspective, financial perspective, I mean, there's no hotter team than LAFC right now.
Yeah, and you also look at what Chris Klein has been able to accomplish in his years as the Galaxy president. Because as there's a video we have on the screen, just it points it out. I mean. The Galaxy are known for making big signings, but in the past 10 or so years, they've had way more misses than hits on these big-name players. Without you talk doubt. About the Dos Santoses. You talk about Stevie G. I mean, these are big names that are great for recognition and have helped the Galaxy throughout their run, but, you know, they actually have to play well.
Yeah.
And the Galaxy have just swung and missed on so many of these big names. And then, you know, the Galaxy had a historically bad 2017 season. And right after that season, Chris Klein was announced for a 5-year extension.
Yeah, what? That's what seems a little odd. And I can only speculate. I don't know if his negotiation tactics are similar to the Reyna's, because I don't understand why after such poor results that he still keeps getting opportunities. And I remember, I have this photo on my phone. Yeah. I went to a game, when I first started going to MLS matches, when Beckham arrived. And when Beckham arrived, I used to go to like Metro Stars games, and then I didn't go for years. Yeah. And then Beckham came, and then, you know, my friends are like, yo, we gotta go. Mm-hmm. And this is a picture of, I took this photo. This is in 2008, July 19th, 2008. You see David Beckham, you see Landon Donovan, Edson Buttle, and look at Chris Klein right there. Boom. Nobody can see it other than Eli, but so he's clearly a guy who's been around for a long time and has a lot of respect from ownership at the club.
Oh, 1,000%. And that's the only thing keeping him afloat.
It's kind of wild. And it's disappointing for it to get to this point where like, now it's like a standoff with the fans of like, yo, get rid of this guy or we're not going to, you know, support the club. So I wonder, I don't know who's going to fold. I mean, somebody I don't know what the compromise is.
I hate to say it because I love the fans and I love the supporter group. I actually joined ACB last year. Mm-hmm. Just definitely not a great business decision for me as this week in MLS. But like personally, I just felt like that's where I belong.
Right, right, right.
But I'm scared that, you know, the fans will fold first, which would be like the more unfortunate scenario here. But the club has already made it clear that they're calling out the supporters bluff. And it helps that the Galaxy haven't had a home match yet because we can't actually see this in action yet. Right, we've seen it in preseason, people come into the stadium and boycotting. And there's going to be boycotts this weekend at their home match. I forgot who they're playing. I think Vancouver or someone. But it's just very unfortunate how the front office's response to this has been, you guys are bluffing, you know?
Yeah.
Because I hate to say it because I love the fans and everything, but, you know, the jersey sales haven't gone down. The merch sales haven't gone down. I mean,
yeah.
I always find it funny where it's like, yeah, we're going to boycott the team after I get the jersey and I get that new reversible jacket. Then we're going to boycott.
Once I look fresh, then I'm going to, you know, take a stance.
Yeah, and like valid because that reversible jacket is absolutely heat. Like, that is amazing. I think our kit's amazing as well. It's just, you know, I'm with the fans here because I want to see that change made and I love the people that I've met in the fandom. I just really hope that they can be very stern with it and not fold at the first offer. You never take the first offer in negotiations, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that the Galaxy, whatever that offer is, I haven't been part of those meetings. I know that that first offer is going to be pretty low. And I also don't like hate the club necessarily, like the organization for what's going on. It is an ownership thing, but there's so much greatness that's still happening in the Galaxy organization. It's just that one specific leech at the top is really, really hurting the reputation for everyone else. Because the marketing team at the Galaxy, top tier. I mean, the way that they, I'm biased, but the way that they work with their influencers and stuff has been amazing. The way great. The guests that they're able to bring into the stadium.
Serrano, right?
Yeah, Adam Serrano. Adam Serrano.
He's great.
He's a mega master at what he does. And I think what he has been able to do with the Galaxy on social media has been fantastic. It just sucks that everything else in the organization isn't helping them. It's making their work harder by mm-hmm. trying to promote this club that is in shambles under the scene. It's kind of like, you know, a duck swimming in water. Everything looks fine at the top, but then under it, just like...
Right, right. That's a... Look, all they need to do is, I don't know, tell Ricky Pooj that if Klein stays, he's just going to continue to be bored in L.A. I don't know what is the move. Look, it's a shame because L.A. Galaxy should be on and they still sort of are. They're on the forefront of, like, when people think of MLS, they think of L.A. Galaxy first, and then, like, obviously, unbelievable signing. I mean, Ibrahimovic coming to the league. I mean,
from one of the hits. One of the hits.
It is a from a marketing perspective. It's a similar what you're saying. Like that all the work behind the scenes is a lot more rigorous than it seems on the outside. But then there's a little bit of like it's nice and shiny on the inside. But then when you look at the core, it's just like a slightly rotten, and you don't want. You know, I'm a Chicharito fan. I just mm-hmm. want him. He's just such a good dude. He's just a good man. I want him to do well. I watch him on Twitch. He is somebody who is very like forthright with his fans. He's very honest. He's like a vulnerable guy. And you don't see many athletes like that. And he should be playing on a good functional team, you know. Yes. And when LA Galaxy were hit with the penalties for you know, I don't know what the
for something Chris Klein did,
yes. I'm sure that is what leads to being like, all right, he's had enough time at this job.
Yeah. So are you asking like what happened with the penalty?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact details.
So Christian Pavone came to the Galaxy in 2019, and he originally signed as a TAM player. And then he would become a designated player his second season in 2020. But what was happening is a Blaise Matuidi Inter Miami situation where he was being paid under the rug.
Table,
and it sucks because Pavone, he was supposed to be like the next generational star for the Galaxy. Obviously, a lot of outside factors ruined that for him, totally. not just what happened with the club. But that was just such like a big red flag, you know, and it shows that this management doesn't know how to manage the salary and just the MLS roster regulations. And it's so frustrating when you look at LAFC and what they're doing and how they're able to sign in Gareth Bale and all these players on the TAM deals we said we were paying Pavone, mm-hmm. but then we actually weren't. But I feel like LAFC actually are like figuring out these ways.
I mean, they do is sign the players on a TAM deal, and then they gave Gareth Bale just like a set of golf clubs. And it's like, hey, it was just a gift. Hey, we didn't. It's not. I had it in my trunk, and I gave it to Gareth.
And if just one last thing on LAFC. If LAFC wins the CCL this year, they're on the verge of becoming the league's super club, which is something the Galaxy should be. The Galaxy are the league's super club, but they're just not doing it. And LAFC, if LAFC continues their trajectory right now, they're going to make MLS a league without parity in a league where there's literally everything that makes it a parity with all the regulations. They've just figured it out.
I get that. I mean, look, I don't think LAFC are just like they're like invincible.
As a Galaxy fan right now, that's how I feel about them. And I feel like I'm just trying to reach up to get to them, which is... It actually doesn't bother me as much as people think it does, uh-huh. because I don't hate LAFC as much as people think. I don't hate any MLS club, but I have to put on a front sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, it's a show. It's a
but it's just frustrating because I know that the Galaxy should be up there, and in my, LA above everyone else... Mm-hmm. mindset, it should be LAFC Galaxy 1 and 2 every year in the West. I mean, with the market it is, that's how it should be. And I would say the same for New York, but you guys...
Well, we have our own issues.
Yeah. So yeah.
People don't want to take the train anywhere. They just go watch soccer. Look, LAFC to me, like... I think the after I've gone to... I was at the El Tráfico, the playoff game in 2019. And I think the bigger issue is that there's just such a psychological... It's more of a psychological thing when playing against LAFC, especially mm-hmm. for LA Galaxy. But it's like, RSL, they don't care. I mean, they beat LAFC in huge games. Mm-hmm. Damir Krylak doing karate kid kicks or whatever and winning big games. But they, without a doubt, especially watching them in the CCL match... the addition of like Denis Bouanga he's
gonna win MVP.
He's
so good.
He is
so good.
Yeah, he's probably gonna win MLS MVP this year, which should be Ricky Pouge's award. It's just a never ending cycle here.
I like this question. DraftKings asked, if you're an incoming MLS player, wouldn't LAFC rank atop your list of clubs you want to go to? Maybe we can answer this real quick. I mean, just in are they the top? I guess you would want to go to the team that won the MLS Cup, but the and then from a, like from a personal perspective, as like if you're a player, I guess you would want to go to like a big market, and LA would be very nice. I would say LAFC would be top, but who would be two? Who would be the team that you definitely want to go to? Is it necessarily the Union because they were they were also in the final? No disrespect to Philadelphia, but it's also Philadelphia. There might be some other cities that might be a little bit more up there.
Yeah, well, I'm hanging on to the point that the Galaxy have the global recognition still over LAFC, but that's fading away very fast.
Okay.
And, I'd say the second market, which sucks because they haven't done dog blank, is Inter Miami.
Right.
You know, that's the second market. I have like in my head a big six of MLS clubs, and Miami's just in there because of them being Miami, not anything they've actually done.
Dominic just said Eli's making LA Galaxy sound very much like the whiny little brother.
And they're supposed to be the big brother. We're literally the big brothers.
How am I the big brother, but I'm shorter than you? It makes no sense. Justin Freeberg said, Christian, watch your words, my friend. In regard, Justin's from Philly, so being very, very careful. You know what? Look, whether you're in Philly, whether you're in Miami, I think the main thing you need is to chill.
Just to chill.
Right,
just
Mike? Because the best way to chill, we all know, is with an ice cold Coors Light, right, Eli?
Actually, believe it or not, and I didn't even know this show was sponsored by Coors Light, I had a Coors Light with my pizza just an hour ago.
Ooh, the big bosses of Metal Arc are
sponsor me.
Wow, he had a Coors Light with his pizza, and it's currently 8:30 a.m. yeah, impressive stuff, Eli. So shouts to Coors Light, obviously.
Someone just asked me a really good question that I could show or I could actually give an answer to. If Apple gave me my own show on the MLS package where I have a bag, but I have to exclusively cover and support LAFC. Am I taking the job and money? Fun fact, I was on the 110 football show,
yeah,
which was an LAFC show. I didn't cover LAFC on the show. I talked about the rest of MLS because they all knew I was a Galaxy fan, but world didn't. This is when I was, when everyone thought I could have been an LAFC fan or a Galaxy fan. And what really drew the line for me and why I really started telling people about it was because so many Galaxy fans thought I was an LAFC fan, and that hurt.
You gotta at some point, yeah, you have to pick your colors.
But the answer is yes, because I am a Galaxy supporter, but I'm an MLS supporter. But before
you would
anything
do your,
else,
you would do your job if yes. you had to do your job. Okay, well,
anything to get me to Apple.
Okay, well, this is why Eli can't be trusted. Don't trust anything he has ever said on this entire episode. But unless he said something positive about Coors Light, so yes. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. So mark your calendar for some quality time with Coors Light. Get Coors Light deliver straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Let's go. All right.
That was the most seamless ad read transition we've ever had. That was the best one so far.
You know what? I never waver, okay?
Never.
All right?
Never,
just like, Eli pretending to be an LAFC fan for the bag, I do that for Coors Light, bro. It's all good.
Hey, one thing I'm not, if we're talking about drinks, you know, I got my little sponsorship, you know? And that is a natural one. I actually like the product. I don't know if I could say it on the show. I mean, the body armor thing I have, I genuinely really like body armor, so I don't have to pretend to like it.
No, all good, all good. I'm just teasing, all right?
Coors Light is a great drink, and this is, I'm not being paid on the under the table by you guys, but it is my selection for when I'm out in New York City getting pizza.
Let's go. Okay, so a couple other things to cover. One thing that you do that I enjoy, and again, I mentioned it this week in MLS, go follow Eli, especially on Instagram. That does a lot of great work there. But under the radar players, all yes. right? So, and this is always fun because I rarely get the opportunity to go in the weeds of like just MLS players that aren't necessarily, we know the superstars, but you have a series of under the radar players. And I want to first highlight, you could tell me some of your favorites out of the ones that you've already highlighted. But one that I appreciated that you highlighted is Derek Etienne Jr.
Yes.
Derek Etienne Jr., who's been on this show. We've been on the show two times. Great dude. Always a great interview. Really fun. Got a great personality. But also a great player that is just a guy that doesn't get a ton of recognition. He was obviously came up through Red Bull, went to Columbus Crew, and is now in Atlanta United. But I'm glad that you did highlight him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a player that always finds a way to score a big goal. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter how many goals you're scoring. It at the end of the day, if you're coming up big when your team needs you most, that's the most important thing for me. And what I'm looking for, a depth player, because that's kind of what he's been his career, even though I think he should be starting. And I believe, he hasn't started yet for Atlanta.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he's dealing with an injury.
Yeah,
something.
I haven't seen him on the field yet, but, you know, he's that guy that's just always been big in big matches. I believe it was I think he scored in the 2020 MLS Cup
final,
or he was at least, you know, in the playoffs, you know, he was scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just super fun to watch. He was awesome for the Crew last year. I think that was the most matches and goal contributions he's had in a season. And I just feel like no one really talks about him unless you're like Matt Doyle or David Goss.
Right,
like, you're
right.
Not talking about Derek Etienne Jr., but I see Derek Etienne, and I love what he does. So I wanted to give him a shout for that.
Sure. Is there any, you've highlighted a couple, any other one that you wanted to make sure that more people were aware of?
Yeah, I think everyone's aware of it now based on how he started this season, and I hate to bring up NYCFC because he scored on y'all the first week. But Jacob Schaufelberg of Nashville SC, one of the most underrated moves of the past year in MLS, Nashville bringing him in from Toronto originally on loan, then acquiring him permanently. I mean, sometimes for young players, it's all about the system fit, and the way that he fits into Gary Smith's system has been amazing. And there's all this talk about Nashville, hey, they need a real striker. But hey, in the meantime, having Jacob Schaufelberg on the left wing, the partnership he's developing with Hani Mukhtar, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a I wasn't happy. So thanks for bringing that up. Why you could have picked anybody.
Sorry, he's my boy, and he's got a nice mullet. I feel like everyone who goes to Nashville has to rock the mullet.
Okay.
Just like, I feel like, was it the Red Bulls like a couple years ago? They all had long hair and mustaches or something.
Yeah,
I was going to say Schaufelberg gives off massive 90s NHL player vibes.
Oh, 100%. The mullet, the mustache. And he didn't have that in Toronto. That's a Nashville thing. That's a Nashville exclusive.
He's electric.
Yeah, he's a great guy and just a very underrated player. And I think he should get a call up to the Canadian national team soon with the way he's played for Nashville.
Okay, yeah, the photos I'm seeing here are
those are from Toronto.
Yeah, but this one, yeah, he got
sort of getting it. It's a sweaty mullet. Yeah,
sweaty mullet. He did the hair band in his hair, just having long hair back in Toronto, but. Yeah, the dude is, he's a beast, and he's, you know, after watching him play against NYCFC, he scored the second goal, yeah. When Hani Mukhtar came into the game, and it's just like, oh, he just needed Hani there, because he was just gonna, all he just needed was somebody to create a chance for him, and he did exactly that. There was a couple other things that happened. I want to talk about CCL a bit. Because I'll pull up the photo in a second, but the Philadelphia Union, who'd they play? Why am I forgetting who they played?
Olympia? Yeah.
Olympia. It was 0-0, but the highlight of this game was the dog.
Hey, that stadium got that dog in it.
The puppy that ran onto the pitch, I got to find the, we had tweeted about it or something, but this is par for the course for CCL. It's like when you're playing in a stadium in Central America. I don't know if there are, you know, puppy supporters groups that have, you know, their season ticket members, because there always seems to be a dog or a bunny or some animal that gets on the pitch. But the game wasn't necessarily boring, but this didn't hurt, having a little dog there.
No, and I heard a rumor, and I'm going to say it just because I saw in the chat they need an Alexis, you know, unverified fact to be said by me.
Oh, they played Alianza, so thank you. Alianza,
sorry, yeah. Another team played them. But, I heard that a security guard let the dog on the field.
Well, I did see this footage. There's some footage somewhere of the a security guard, I guess, trying to grab the dog, but by grabbing the dog, they opened the gate onto the pitch, and the dog was like, "Oh, thank you for opening the door for me. I'm just gonna run at full speed past you,"
as he should.
But you know what's interesting is that the dog not only ran on the pitch, but immediately ran for the ball and started biting the ball.
He wanted to work on his first touch. Like, what are you saying?
Which is, I don't know. Like, do you have a dog? You have any pets?
I had a very demented bunny.
Okay.
Killer rabbit. From
just
Monty
like a
Python.
Very much Monty Python-esque rabbit that I would unleash onto my sister. I've never actually had a dog. So.
Okay. My dog, for whatever reason, is like, he's not interested in soccer balls that are like size 5 soccer balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he'll go towards he could mess with a size 3 soccer ball, a 2, but 5, he doesn't even acknowledge it as a toy. He's just like, this is for humans. This is not for me. So when I saw the dog rush to the ball and actually bite the ball, I'm like, yo, why can't my dog be like this?
He saw an opportunity, you know?
We're watching it now. I can't put it on YouTube because we'll get dinged or whatever. Again, a fun wrinkle in CCL. The other one was, and this is probably less fun for Austin FC fans, is the the loss to Violette AC, a Haitian club. They were playing in Dominican Republic, which is coincidentally that they were playing the stadium where Cibao FC is from, where they play, which is where my family's from in Dominican Republic. So I was
awesome.
I've actually been to that stadium. I watched the CONCACAF Champions
League.
You've
seen the tree in person?
I've seen the tree in person. I actually sat on those bleachers next to the tree. So it was cool to see that. And the fact that Austin FC, they lost 3-0 to this Haitian club that is, from all accounts, and I'm not here to like disparage or even speak negatively of this club. Everybody's just saying like this is a almost a semi-professional team. Austin FC fielded a very, very turned over roster because I think Josh Wolf, the impression was, all right, well, this is like playing an open cup match,
which I didn't agree with. I think you have this opportunity, no matter who you're playing, you want to show your best in any opportunity, and I hate when teams don't like put their best players on for certain tournaments. Even if they have another MLS match, there's 34 MLS matches. How many matches are you going to have in the CCL? And for them, it's potentially only one more. So.
Right. And to lose 3-0 to this club, I mean, it takes it from like, anything can happen in CCL, whatever, CCL fever. But this was it felt much more like a completely avoidable result.
Easily.
Yeah. And it's one, even there's a little bit of like, if you're playing in CCL, you're playing in Champions, you qualified. It's a big deal.
It's a privilege.
It's the first one for Austin FC. Mm-hmm. And if you're a player on that team, whether you're Drewsy or anybody, wouldn't you be like, yo, it's just a cool experience. I'm playing soccer in Dominican Republic in front of this giant tree that looks like our logo. Put me in, coach.
Yeah. Tree FC got upset by a literal tree. Wow.
It was kind of wild. I think the two goals that they gave up, the headers, mm-hmm. It is what it is. But the own goal.
That third goal.
If you didn't see, it was an own goal from
Amro Terek, unfortunately known for that in MLS throughout his years with Red Bulls.
Right, he played
Orlando.
For Red Bull. I remember that. He played for Orlando, too.
During their really bad days,
So, and if you haven't seen this highlight, please look it up, everybody. But it is one of the worst. I mean, Brad Stuver makes an incredible save. It was a cross, another header, and Brad Stuver is just doing what he can in this game. But he makes a spectacular save, and Tarek, bro, rockets it into his own net, trying to clear it out. It looks so bad. He made it look more comical than it needed to be, and it almost to the point where it almost looked intentional. But do you think Austin FC, I know they're playing actually tonight, in the second leg, they're going to play in Austin. The Haitian club, they were having a lot of issues even fielding a team cause they couldn't get visas for all their players. And so we'll see what this game looks like, but do you think Austin FC can actually win this tie?
I've been saying it since last week. I think they're going to win 5-0.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's one thing going over there and playing, but then now that they're going to be at home, they are down already. We don't even know who's going to be on the field for Violet. I see them winning this one and probably making a big enough comeback to go through, but maybe that's just the MLS bias in me.
Okay.
One thing I'm pissed about is Violet was recruiting, Haitian Americans or, Haitians that live in America to play for them, and they didn't reach out to my boy Elisha.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, come on, you got to get Elisha on the team.
I bet he could. I mean, he'll look great on the bench, right?
Just get him in a jersey. Get him to Instagram story the entire event.
That would be dope. Elisha's the homie.
And he was actually in Austin this past week for EMLS Cup. Okay. So he was already there. You didn't need to have to do much to get him there.
Hilarious.
It's all good at the end of the day. And I it'd be cool if Violet won, but as an MLS homer or propagandist, as the USMNT fanboys like to call me, I need to see Austin go through because I think out of the MLS clubs, they have a really good shot at winning it.
Right. And then today also, if you're listening to this, the results are already happened, but obviously we're recording before the matches. Philadelphia Union have their second leg against Alianza at home, and Atlas will be playing Olimpia at home. This CCL, I mean, maybe because the Sounders won it last year, or even just after watching the first leg of the matches, MLS, this time it feels like it would almost be disappointing if an MLS team doesn't win it. I feel like the last, you know, 6-7 years, we saw those, you know, wild CCL matches either with Montreal, with Toronto FC, LAFC, and just getting kind of close but just not being able to close it out. And now it feels like we've gotten over that hump.
Absolutely, and I think MLS should win it every year now, just based on it. And I think. I mean, no hate to Liga MX, but I don't think Liga MX has a team better than LAFC or the Philadelphia Union.
Interesting.
From what I've seen, and you know, seeing Tigres not being able to score on an Orlando team that was basically parking the bus.
Tigres, it's unbelievable. They're one of the best teams on the continent. Every year.
And Orlando being able to last and salvage a 0-0 draw there, and now they're going home, and Gignac's not going to be there. It's amazing.
We know why. You know why he's not going to be there.
Well, there's two reasons now.
Okay, the one,
there's the COVID reason, and also he got a red card in that match.
No, he got taken back.
Oh, it did get taken back. Either way, he wasn't going to be there anyway. Sorry, if you don't know,
Andres Pierre Gignac is
an anti-vaxxer.
He's an anti-vaxxer. He's like, I can't go. Wait, but he's going to Florida, which you would think DeSantis would be like, hold his hand.
Ron DeSantis is going to have a photo op with Gignac, even though he's not playing in the game.
Damn, dude. Okay. So look, like the game with Orlando and Tigres, it did feel, it's always they play. Where do they play? Tigres. They don't play the Azteca. I forgot what they play.
No. That's America, I believe.
I was surprised that Orlando didn't seem as intimidated as most MLS teams do when they go there and play. And that's generally been the feeling. There's been a lack of intimidation in these matches that's what we've grown accustomed to. But MLS, it does feel a little bit like they should win. I mean, I don't know if it's LAFC or the Union. LAFC look like the favorites. As far as the statement about that no team in Liga MX is better than LAFC or the Union,
I stand by it. I don't care if all of Mexico comes after me for that one. I stand by that.
It's a tough one. Maybe.
Who's got Chiellini coming off the bench in Mexico?
Right.
That's fair.
And maybe that's just what we're seeing is that at least in Liga MX, the last few years, they haven't had the turnover of that young superstar. We know the more veteran players, but some of the veteran players have left Liga MX and have actually come to MLS. Lucas De La Rayan is one of those examples. And so they haven't seemed to replace some of those players that they've lost. And maybe this is now we're sort of seeing the fundamental issues with Liga MX and like they stopped doing Pro Rel for a little bit. I think they're bringing it back next year or something like that. So maybe in that development of like that next crop of superstars, it seems like MLS, this is where they swooped in and made that change to, you know, be a little bit better on the continent.
I think it was like 2019 where we saw pretty much if any player scored 10 goals in Mexico, they were in MLS the next season.
We're looking at
Alan Pulido, Rui Diaz, Gustavo Boa, any decent striker in Liga MX just went to MLS. Yeah, I think we are seeing the tide change a little bit. And you mentioned that confidence. I think, you know, Seattle winning it last year. And I know we say the All-Star game doesn't matter, but MLS has won both of the MLS versus Liga MX All-Star matches.
Right.
You know, who knows what kind of confidence that gives, you know, MLS teams. I'm not going to put it past them to say that, you know, it doesn't, or it does.
Right. So the what other who plays tomorrow? Let me just look at the CCL.
Tomorrow we've got Real España versus Vancouver, Orlando versus Tigres, and LAFC versus LD
Alajuelense, which is a Costa Rican team, which is NYCFC. I went to the CCL match that they played against San Jose, but they played in that stadium because the San Jose stadium was like very far from the airport, so they just decided to play in a more central location. And they were it was a stadium of like 50,000, and there might have been 2,000 people there. I mean, and it was mostly like NYCFC fans. But it was a very, I had a great time in Costa Rica. It was a very nice stadium. You have to, I feel like I, you know, as far my favorites right now have to be LAFC, especially after how they handled to score three goals on the road. And Denis Bouanga, you know, after dealing with people throwing bottles at him and water, like there were so many stoppages in this game, and for them to handle it confidently and do well, so you got to favor them. All right, let's talk some MLS. And yes. And just as who are you liking this year? Because this feels like a transformative year for the league, and the fact that the Apple TV deal and everything makes it feel a little bit like even the players are like, all right, we gotta shine this year because we're all ramping up into the World Cup, but. There seems to be a little different kind of pressure, or at least a potential for something for the league to really sort of explode in the next couple of years. So who are your favorites at least this year so far?
So far and kind of in general, I mean, I mentioned it with, you know, the CCL debate, but I still think, you know, LAFC and Philly are the teams to beat right now. And I think they're the standard that every club is trying to get to in terms of on-field product.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm liking the starts of both of them. Sure, you know, Philly took an L in week two. LAFC is 2-0, and they had a very convincing win just last night or the other night against New England. I did like New England until that match, but obviously it's so early. I'm hoping to see, you know, Atlanta be good again. They have been good at the start. Nashville's switch back to the East has been pretty smooth so far. And then, you know, St. Louis is 3-0, and it's crazy that St. Louis City SC is 3-0.
I do want to talk about that. This kind of, I spoke about this with Jillian Sakovic when they were, you know, when they won two games, but now that they won three, it's the third game was against, who was the third game against? I don't remember.
Portland.
Portland, yeah.
Portland 2-1.
Where do you think this, you know, where is this coming from with St. Louis? The fact that they don't look like an expansion team. They look incredibly comfortable. There's a certain, you know, swagger to how they, you know, carry themselves. And then that stadium was just gorgeous.
Which I'm hoping to visit and, you know, thankfully to Body Armor, I will be visiting at some point. Don't know yet.
Boom.
But what's been the success for St. Louis so far has been they have a clear identity of how they want to play and how they're going to play, and they've done a great well at executing that. You know, the Red Bull or the energy drink soccer mentality that they're playing. I mean, it's showing, you know, there's a reason why they were ready for those back passes from the back line that led to two free goals for them. That's just the style of play, the high press, the counterattack.
Kevincho in the chat said, lucky ass goals, my God.
I mean, yes, yes, they were, but also they were also skill in a way because they put themselves in those positions because they just have a better way of reading the game heading into MLS than we've seen from a lot of MLS expansion clubs. And I think part of what's benefited them that a lot of people aren't talking about is last year, most of their core pieces were already there playing for MLS Next Pro.
Okay.
For that second team. I mean, Roman Berkey was playing an MLS Next Pro. That helps them. They're already building that identity. They're already playing with each other. And they've also just smashed certain signings. Joel Klaus, their new striker, he's going to be one of the best strikers in the league, and we're already seeing that from him. And I wasn't expecting St. Louis to be a playoff team, definitely not this early, but based on the way they've played, I don't think they'll win every single match like they have, but I think they're going to stay in the playoff range for the West.
Yeah, it's a good start, to say the least. My concern is that, look, they've gone, three games where or two in two of the games that the, you know, back passes and just dumb mistakes that led to great goals.
Five of their six goals were from non-open play goals in those first two matches.
Right, right. So it there's a little bit, at least for me, I'm like, maybe this is the concern of like worrying about the Euro snob tweets or whatever, like, oh, had to be in MLS or whatever, MLS goalkeeping or MLS defending and stuff like that. So there's a little bit of me that's like, yeah, I'm happy for you, St. Louis, that you're getting these goals, but like, do them in a different way, okay? Because there are people on the internet that are going to be very, very condescending by seeing these mistakes being made in this league. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
It's just what it is, and then you always see like Barstool Football be like, haha, this is what MLS is. But it happens everywhere. All these it 100%, people, it happens in the Prem way more than you guys think.
People, they're so like opportunist yes. to like make people do find a way when somebody makes a mistake in any other European league, they find a way to justify it for that particular person, that player. Yes. Oh, he's Steven Gerrard slipped and whatever. It's not.
It's curious.
It's never like you know, the entire Premier League you know is embarrassing, but to some degree it's making a mistake in the Premier League, as there are the whole point of soccer is that people have to make mistakes,
yes,
so that the game is fun to watch.
Yes,
you don't want pitchers duels all game, just nil-nil all day. That would not be an entertaining product. So, yeah. So, look, I as long as St. Louis, best of luck to St. Louis. Just other teams, just be aware that they're wearing a different jersey than you. Don't give them the ball. Okay. S27 said, MLS defending isn't good on a global standard. Okay. So, I want to address this because where is the evidence that you're saying MLS defending is not good on a global standard, right? So there's plenty of leagues in Eastern Europe. There's leagues in Iceland.
I saw in FootMob that there's like a Samoan league.
So I don't want to hear that it's not good on a global standard.
It's not good on a top five standard.
Yes, at some point, MLS has to break in into your power rankings as, I can at least respect that the defenders are trying, okay? it can't just be a blanket statement. And a lot of people make this blanket statement. They're just like, what is it about, what could it be about Major League Soccer that is inherently where the players cannot defend? That makes no sense.
I see where you're saying, but I also know where they're coming from, because when you think of what MLS GMs focus on, they focus on signing the big attacking talents, you know, not the defensive legends. Now, you were spoiled in NYC with your center backs over the last few years,
right,
who were, you know, top tier talent,
but not superstars, right? But
I mean, Collins and, you know, Chanot, great duo at the time,
right. I think we're getting to a place. Well, the point you just made about GMs focusing on attacking talent, that's not happening as much today.
Yes,
right?
Not as much as it used to. But
we had we interviewed Mike Jacobs, the GM for Nashville, and when you hear the thought and care taken in how to build these rosters, it's not simply, you know, let's get the 9 foot, this is you know, striker up front and send a bunch of balls to him and whatever. It isn't. We're not like we're sort of past that.
Yes.
And not every, again, there's a lot of MLS teams, and so that means more teams will be bad, right? Because there won't be as many playoff spots, and they're not going to make, more teams are not going to make the playoffs, and blah, blah, blah. So it's just this this statement. I'm doing my best to kind of just fight it, because it's fine if you're like, look, you know, you don't respect MLS for not having Pro Rel or blah, blah, blah. Like, totally valid reasons, but I've watched enough games for years. I've already interviewed a lot of these players. You know where they come from, their backgrounds, and how much work it takes to even get to MLS. Especially, you know, CCL is a great example of now the way we're talking about how, you know, MLS should win it or whatever. Or the story with Violette against Austin FC. You know how For them to beat an MLS team, it's like beating Manchester City in the Champions League final. It's a huge, huge deal. And so I just want more people to be aware that the way people are perceiving the league is not the way you may perceive the league or the way you thought it was 10, 15 years ago. The league is actually very, very strong and very competitive. And in relative, especially in the region, it's pretty well respected. And just from a competition standpoint, even if you don't like whatever the rules or Tam and Gam and all this other stuff, the players are good. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, I love the CCL, but I actually really want, you know, MLS and Liga MX teams to play in the tournaments with the Argentine and Brazilian clubs, you know?
That would be Libertadores and stuff like that.
Yeah, I want the Libertadores for MLS clubs. I loved when the U.S. was in the Copa America, seeing where the U.S. stood with, you know, South American teams then. I think the Americas, they just got to keep building relationship. We have the Mexico US relationship now. That's hammered in. Let's spread that and make it, you know, a North and South America type of deal.
Well, we're even with Argentina. How many Argentinian players are now coming into Major League Soccer? It's becoming a place where even young Argentinian players are like, you know, maybe the next step up is not straight into Europe. Maybe it's MLS and then moving from there. So I think the success, Miguel Almirón is not Argentinian. He's from Paraguay. But, you know, seeing if Thiago Almada can have a lot of success in Atlanta, bro, he's going to be
30 mil.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be sold for Premier League next year
in a heartbeat. There's some people in the chat somebody asked who has the best defense in MLS. I don't know who asked this, but who do you think has the best defense? I mean,
Philly, right? It's got to be Philly.
Yeah, Philly, then maybe Nashville.
Nashville's up there. It was NYC. I don't know about anymore, but
yeah.
I mean, when you think of the standard in MLS for defense, I'd think the Philadelphia Union, and they have a mix of, you know, super draft talent, international talent. It's great. And then obviously Andre Blake, you need to have a keeper to have a great back line. I know 100%. He just went down with an injury, but you know, when he's there, he's the undisputed best keeper in MLS.
Without a doubt. Michael Raymond said, is MLS so bad? If MLS is so bad, then why are MLS teams signing top talent from South America? Exactly. There's been a combination of some financial stability and whether it's through the popularity of the sport or just insane expansion fees or whatever. But it's getting to a point where the league as a player or even as an agent, you're like, all right, this seems like a viable option for all of us to get the bag, bro. And at the end of the day, that's obviously going to be a very, very big factor. I don't think many players necessarily care how quote unquote good the league is or how good the defense is. Cause if you're an attacker, please put me in.
You probably want to join this league.
Some of the worst defending in the world so that I can get an opportunity to obviously play for my national team. So, okay. All right. Anything else before we wrap up? I think we're almost done. Robert Pesaturo said CONCACAF and CONMEBOL should merge, but never will. No,
not for World Cup competition, like not for qualification, but I think, you know, just merging in terms of having, you know, teams from each region in tournaments together would be great.
Okay.
And like they said, the Copa America, which I think is coming back to the U.S. or the U.S. is going to be invited.
Yeah, the U.S.
is going to
be in it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
not official, but there have been a couple of weird issues where people didn't like Weston McKennie or somebody say something like, oh, we're going to be playing in Copa America. And they're like, hey, no, we're not.
I think it was Tyler Adams. Tyler. Yeah.
Like, no, we can't. No, don't say it yet. The top talent might be stretching and referring to
Argentina. I mean, Kevin's a big Argentina guy, River Plate.
Yeah. But just the fact that there have been, it's not even about attracting top talent, but just the fact that in Argentina they see it as a stepping stone is better than it was, you know, 15 years ago. Like, well, even Thiago Almada, who obviously won the World Cup, He got on the roster after there were a couple of injuries, but he was on the list to go.
He played 6 minutes against Poland. Like, he was there.
And so it counts. His he got a medal, but that was a big issue for, players, especially Argentinian players that played in MLS, were never getting opportunities and getting called up to the national team at all for any competitions. And I think It's starting to change. Obviously, he is the first active MLS player to win a World Cup. But it does a good thing for the brand in general, mm-hmm. because a lot of these international coaches are people who are like the people in the chat, like MLS has the worst defending in whatever, we're here to just convince them that like, no, these are competent players. They know what they're doing. Okay, let's wrap up, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Eli. Seriously.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank this you, is Eli. An absolute honor. Been a fan of you guys for a very long time. And this is one of my biggest appearances I've ever made. So.
Look at that. Yes. Look, it's well deserved. It's also long overdue. We're huge fans of you here at the Cooligans. And seriously, go follow Eli on Instagram and Twitter at This Week in MLS. Seriously, if you want to stay up with everything going on in Major League Soccer, there's no one that does it more outside of probably MLS employees that do it as well as Eli does. And look, best of luck. I know you are you're graduating college very, very soon.
May 13th is the date.
Congratulations brother. I'm sure it's not easy to balance school and your MLS obsession.
I'd argue I don't.
But yes. But no, it's something I wish I was as committed to anything when I was your age. So, but it's really, really dope. I mean, like I said, you are going to do big things in American soccer. There's no doubt in my mind. So just keep up the good work. All right, buddy. So at This Week in MLS, go give them a follow. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans, wherever you have your social media account, because social media is great. Everybody loves it. So go.
Do we? Does everyone?
Okay, we got to keep up the facade, everybody.
Social media, woo, follow me.
It's improved all of our lives. Mm-hmm. So at Soccer Cooligans, make sure you can join the Patreon as well. Alexis will be back next week, unless CBS changes schedule or something. But we will be recording a new No Cap recap to talk about everything that's been going on with the Cooligans. We'll talk about the future of the Cooligans and everything. We're not going anywhere. But we'll tell you about how everything with the CBS and Golazo Network happened and all those things. All right, chat, y'all the absolute best. We will see you next week. Enjoy CCL. Enjoy this weekend of football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. But we'll see you next week, everybody. Peace.